Good morning. Welcome to Camp Hill Church of Christ. Welcome if you're joining us online. I know there's a few people watching for sure this morning. Nate Curtis is watching from down where he's taking Officers Candidate School. We're watching out for your kid, Nate. He's cute. Takes after his grandfather. And Jason and Allison Collette are under the weather today. They're watching online. I know Tiffany Weister is always watching. We have a lot who watch on Golden Living. My mom, she watches. I think last week we had 19 different people watching online. And I want to make mention that I have 6 sermons left after this, so next week will be counting from 5 down. It'll be the 4th part of this 4-part series, doing the work of an evangelist. In review of the first 2 lessons, Paul charged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The responsibilities of an evangelist. Preaching is only just part of it. I'm sorry if the evangelistic world has tricked you. Okay? A minister, a preacher, an evangelist. I consider the evangelist one who does all these things. And if they're not doing that, then, you know, it's been talked about. Whether or not you're going to have a preacher or not, you need to let the elders know because they're now seeking your advice on what they should do. You know, in the book Lynn Anderson titled, They Smell Like Sheep, the elders want to smell like sheep in this decision. So quit acting bad and get over there and tell them what you're thinking. Should you have an evangelist or should you not? The least of the evangelist's responsibilities is preaching. And I told the elders numerous times in the past, if you don't want me to preach, I'll be glad not to preach. But you can't stop me from doing this other stuff. And they never wanted me to anyway, but I was just trying to emphasize that the preaching isn't really the most important thing. It's what you do away from the building. That's the most important thing. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we reviewed in the first one. Evangelism, second, education. Very, very important. Leading others to the kingdom of God. Small home group Bible studies, personal Bible studies. Often take up many hours of the week with an active evangelist. The job I'm going to, they made it very clear. They say, well, the person we're hiring needs to understand that they're going to put in 40 hours a week just like everybody else does. And it doesn't count worship and coming to class and stuff. Is that any problem for you? I said, well, I'm looking forward to the break. That's what I told them. But I want to give you a special note. I'm unaware. And everything I'm saying, put it on this backdrop here. I'm unaware of any thriving and growing churches of Christ who decide to go without an evangelist for the long term. I don't know any. None. And I know hundreds, if not over 1,000 churches throughout the world. Perhaps there might be one out there that you personally know of. I like to hear of it. But for all that I know, congregations that do not have a functional evangelist, they will begin to shrink and they will end up becoming a statistic. You know, you're an active congregation, and I believe that you could do the work of an evangelist. The elders believe that too, or they wouldn't even receive your input. They want your input. They need your input. They believe that you can. But if for some reason you believe that you do want one, you need to let them know. But if you choose not to, and if you are successful in doing the work of an evangelist, the church will continue to press on in her work. Mature Christians will emerge. You will pay off your debt that is owed for the house that was purchased next door to secure 12 additional parking spaces. But if for some reason, if you cannot successfully pull off the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry, then we risk becoming just another statistic. Don't let this happen. Make a wise decision. Let's cover the third aspect of the work of an evangelist, encouragement. Now, there's a lot of people. There's 17 individuals who signed up on the classifieds in the back. I just looked at the latest of them. And in evangelizing and educating, I don't expect everyone to, gravitate towards those. But then these last two, you more likely will. And that's encouragement is the third one. In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul says, "Until I come, give attention to public reading of the scripture, to exhortation and the teaching." Exhortation, encouragement. Encouragement is a very interesting word. It means to put courage in. In courage. Now, you remember on The Wizard of Oz, the cowardly lion?
Yes, sir.
He got his courage with a medal pinned on his fur, which I didn't understand how he didn't say ow when the wizard did it, but it's beside the point. That's how they did it in Oz. In Christianity, you put courage in, not on. You give them strength to mount up with wings like eagles, where they will run and not be wearied and walk and not be tired. You give them the courage to make it through a new day, because let me tell you, the world will rob you of every ounce of your encouragement if you give it a chance. And I'm not talking false encouragement. One of the great examples of encouragement was the scripture that Brother Zimmerman read, where it talks about the coming back of Jesus, when the Lord shall descend from heaven with his mighty angels. He's going to come back. There's going to be a trump of God. And the dead in Christ will be raised first. And those who are alive and remain shall come and join with them and meet them in the air. And what does Paul say? Wherefore, comfort one another with these thoughts. Comfort, that's another word for encouragement. Parakaleo, encourage. And so, how do we encourage? How do we put courage into people? First of all, you have to find the... If you want to become experts at encouraging people, you need to go to the people who are the least courage, who are the discouraged. And I can't think of a group of people any more than nursing home, hospital, shut in prisons. It's full of discouraged people. Paul wrote Timothy right after he wrote, "Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Listen to where Paul was. He says, "Make every effort to come to me soon," 4 verse 9. "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone back to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for my service." Paul was in prison. He was facing death row. He was going to die. It's a very, very lonely place. A lot of brethren forsook him. When it came time to stand up for the faith, they walked away. And Paul was left there alone with Luke in that prison cell. He was requesting Timothy to come, his protege. Come to me. And bring Mark. Wait a second. Mark, the guy who abandoned him on the first missionary journey? Yeah. And who he didn't want to take on the second missionary journey? Yeah. He got things mended up. That's why we need to mend all fences before we go to sleep at night. we can't be an encouragement to others. Here Paul wants John Mark to come. Prison is one lonely place, but also hospitals, nursing homes, and the homes of those who are shut in. These are all areas where we find lonely and hurting people, the discouraged. See, anyone can become an expert at working on cars if you only fix brakes or if you change oil. But if you go to the most needy problems like a broken crankshaft or something like that, the brakes seem easy. Go to the most discouraged people and encourage them. Put courage in them. The forgotten people are in nursing homes, are in prisons. You know, imagine being in a prison, in a correction facility, and receiving no visits. There is a lot of people like that. Put yourself in a position of being in a nursing home and having no visits from someone on the outside. Nationally, 65% of everyone in a nursing home nationally receive no visits a month from someone outside of employed staff workers. That's sad. To live your whole life, to watch your friends die before you, and then be put off into a room with a roommate you may not even want, and there you're stuck. You can't drive, you may not have a phone to call, and you're forgotten. That's sad. I want you to imagine yourself for a second being shut in to a nursing home or just at home. You can't get out of bed. You remember Ken Morgan? He couldn't get out of bed. We have somebody who watches us every week, Tiffany Weister. She doesn't get out of bed. She's very, very ill. What is she, 21, 22 years of age? If it wasn't for you streaming services to her, she wouldn't have access to fellowship. It's very, very important. Any evangelist who does not make regular visits will not be successful in his ministry. And any corporate evangelist, you, if we fail to make visits to the most discouraged people around us, forget success. It will not happen. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. I want to tell you a story of Lonely Herb. About 5 years ago, and that's another one who's watching, Denise Haas. Denise was very, very good to her. 5 years ago, I met this man at Golden Living Nursing Home when we started our Golden Living ministry. I came into his room by accident. I was meant to go to another room because we were adopting over 100 residents as part of our program. And Herbert Stevenson had no family in the immediate area. He looked like the most lonely person in the world. And when I came in, I asked for the person I was looking for. He said, "No, you have the wrong room." And then I felt guilty because I thought, wait a second, this room isn't on the list. So I said, "Well, you'll do." So we started talking and visiting. He rarely came out of his room, which is a sign of depression in a nursing home. He had a very sad countenance on his face. He had no visitors, no friends, no encouragements coming his way. And yet, we adopted him. And though he was an inner city black man, and I was a white, redneck Iowan, we became good friends. I was visiting with him and he told me of his past and his family situation. Mostly I just listened. I determined to bring in a few other members because the more the merrier. I wanted to make sure that there were lots of people encouraging him. You know, one member came in, bought him a Philadelphia Eagles football helmet and put it on his television and would come in and watch the Eagles games with him. Another lady, Bernice Wright, is she here this morning? There you are. She brought collard greens. Let me tell you, nothing touches a brother's heart like collard greens from Bernice Wright. I remember he used to say to me, "This is the best food I've had here in 3 years." He'd wolf them down. It didn't even save any for me. But we had another lady, Denise Haas. She took a huge lead on that. She would spend many hours a week just visiting him. And between me and a number of other people, after a year, you couldn't find Herb in his room anymore. He would be out in his wheelchair. He was encouraged. His heart was lifted up. I remember asking him, "Herb, what happened?" And he told me what happened in his heart. I said, "Could you write something down so I could read to the congregation?" He said, "Sure." I want to read to you what was written. I wrote, Herb spoke. He said, "I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the love which you have shared with me in my stay at this nursing home." Now, he had tears in his eyes. It took about 20 minutes to write this. "Before you took the time to visit me in Golden Living, I was so lonely. I really didn't think lonely could feel like this. I was forgotten by all the people whom I thought were my friends and family. I hurt so bad that I wanted to just die and get it over with. Then you took me in. I was a stranger to you all, but you loved me like a family member. You will never know how much it means to have you in my life, to have you visit me in the hospital, to remember me for the holidays, and to experience the love you gave. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for your Christian service." 1 year after this was written and read, Herb died from his health conditions. He was buried in the National Cemetery. I happened to be overseas at the time. Sister Denise Haas handled all the arrangements. Herb may have been lonely in the beginning, but in the end, he was surrounded by people who loved him, and vice versa. Together, we can do the work of an evangelist if we put our minds to it. I hope that I've lived up to this obligation as my job as an evangelist. And please, please drop the concept that evangelists, the number one job is preaching. That's their least job. Anyone can come up and do a sermon. That's the easy part. I hope I've lived up to this obligation, though. In the past 15 years, I did a minimal estimate on how many hospital visits, nursing home visits, shut-ins, and prison visits I have made. The minimum number is over 4,000 in that time. If a personal evangelist ever expects to be effective, and keep in mind, I really don't like to visit. I don't. And during C. diff season in the nursing home, I am not drawn to there. But I don't do that. Remember, your spiritual giftedness, you do things out of obligation sometimes, not because it just makes you happy. If I ever want to be effective with anyone, I have to show them how much I love them. And if you're ever going to be effective, if you're going to be the congregation to pull this off, a corporate evangelist, you have to do these things. You have to go to the most discouraged. With my departure on February 26th, there'll be a lot of openings for you to fill. Here's one. Position open. Visitors for Gene Parsons. Now, Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to assist making regular nursing home visits to Gene Parsons. He's the father of Sister Toothman. The candidates must possess a heart of mercy and compassion, a personality of encouragement and service, and a great ear for stories, because he will talk your ear off. And he will say some of the same stories again, so just nod your head, because they're just as good the second time. And they must be willing to occasionally go to a diner for pancakes and coffee. Okay? If you are interested in this labor of love, contact Sister Toothman or the elders. This is a man who has yet still to convert. Study with him. I've studied with him. He's been near to the kingdom. Follow up. And you could add Francis Sheets to that. Eddie Shaw. Substitute. All these people need visits. They need it. Because they're in a very discouraged environment. Here's a position open. Visitors for Marcia Peasley. Marcia Peasley. She's your sister in Christ, baptized in her tub more than 8 years ago. Here's a lady who was walking by our Bible study one day at Newport. And she was just minding her own business. I asked a question, gave the answer. She's walking by and I said, "Isn't that so?" She said, "Well, I don't know what the question is." I said, "Just say yes." She said, "Okay, yes." I said, "She's right. What's your name?" She said, "Marcia." I said, "We like right people in our study. Would you like to join us?" She did. And in about a year and a half, she was baptized in her bathtub. She's that small. Right on her refrigerator is a picture of the day she was baptized. Her daughter Angie, if you're watching, she usually watches from down south. Her daughter Angie, if you're there, Angie, we miss you too. She needs someone to follow up with her. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to assist in making regular home visits, telephone calls, and or encouraging cards for Sister Marcia Peasley. The candidates must be able to make occasional visits to Harrisburg Hospital because she ends up there, doesn't she, Jean? Jean, you need to sign up for that one, okay? She suffers injury or illness. If you're interested in this labor of love, contact Charles Brown, contact Lisa Shaw. They go up there for the study. Or the elders. Because when I'm gone, I'm gone. And she's very sad that I'm leaving. And now's the opportunity for her to grow even more. Here's another open position. Hospital visitation coordinators. Coordinators, plural, I have on the notes. It's singular up there because you're the one. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to take the lead on hospital visitation program. You must be able to be called in for hastened situations and be ready to go with members in emergency rooms, major surgeries, extended hospital stays, all those things are really important. If you've ever been to the hospital for an appendectomy, for a fall with a canoe, for a heart attack, whatever it is, you want to be effective, go to that emergency room. Because it's an emergency. You know, if Christ became Savior of the world through a crucifixion, I think we can all become better Christians through an emergency room visit. Yes. If you're going to have open heart surgery, brain surgery, whatever it is, and we've all had those things happen in our life, and if you haven't had them yet happen yet, you're going to. Isaac, you're young, top of the world. May I remind you that your dad was better looking than you. The second law of thermodynamics is coming your way. They must be willing to pray with and encourage them in their hour of needs. Must be able to inform the elders If the family requests prayer from the leadership, occasionally it will involve cases of death within the congregation. If interested, please contact the elders. You can't expect the elders to do everything. You know, God knows everything. The elders don't. It's hard. There's stuff I don't find out about. I'm amazed at all the stuff you're doing. I didn't know we did that. You're the preacher, I know, but you did it behind my back. You got to keep the leadership informed.
Yes, sir.
Because they want to be involved as well. So if you would like to be one of those people that is first in line to be able to have your phone on the hook if something happens to somebody, that you're a point person that can go down to the hospital and pray with these individuals and to hold their hand and to be with them if it means so at the point of their death, let me tell you, you will be very effective. And it just might be something you really enjoy. Here's another open position. End of life encouragers. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to assist in encouraging those who have or are losing members of their family. Must be willing to spend long hours at the hospital, hold the hands of the dying, and able to offer follow-up counseling for the bereaved. Also, some of the interested candidates might be requested to do a funeral service. If you have interest in this ministry, then contact the elders for further details. You know, I'm looking around the room, and I see no less than 10 people just in one scan where I've been there when their relative, their mom or dad or husband died. And they're some of my greatest friends on earth. Friendships, kinships, whatever ship is forged when the times are tough. You need to sign up that sheet. Sign that sheet back there. There needs to be more than 17 people. 17 is a good number. But maybe these things fall into your area. And let me tell you, if you decide you ever do get an evangelist down the road, what evangelist would not want to be part of a congregation that's doing all that? That will be an encouragement to the evangelist. And if you get a young one, train him to do these things if he does not. Here's another open position. Prison ministry volunteers. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to assist in prison visits when the need arises. Applicants will need to receive documentation from church representation from the eldership to meet the requirements of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It is important not to be overly gullible and not overly judgmental. Must be able to study the Bible with them and offer the hope of Christ. Interested parties should contact the elders for further information. I have made many prison visits since I've been here. I don't really like going to prisons. I'm a flaming prophet. I mean, to me, they all did it. And when they tell me they didn't do it, I say, I'll be back when you call me and say you did. And mercy givers, watch out. I don't want you marrying somebody in prison. But the point being is, who's going to go and see these people? You know, I remember driving Pat Mattson clear over. I've made numerous trips over to Somerset to visit relatives of members of our congregation. To Camp Hill Prison, to Dauphin County, Adams County, Cumberland County. Those things come up. And if we're ever going to reach out to the discouraged in the correctional facilities, you have to sign up and be ready. Because you just can't go in there without a plan. You plan your work and then you work your plan. Then there's a meals and service for the hurting. Here's another area that we can focus on. Meals and service for the hurting. Paul wrote to Timothy in Philippians 2 verse 22, but you know of his proven worth. He wrote this of Timothy, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. He reminded Timothy of Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy 1 verse 18, and you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. He reminded the congregation for which Timothy labored for many years in Ephesians 6 verse 7, with goodwill render service as to the Lord and not to men. 1 Corinthians 16, 10, 11 informs us that Timothy was making a trip to Corinth on the behalf of Paul. Timothy was even willing to be circumcised for his effectiveness in the evangelistic efforts, Acts 16, verse 3. There's a sacrifice of service that comes with the brotherhood. The life of Timothy the evangelist was filled with this sacrificial service. He was willing to be an example of personal sacrifice for the work of an evangelist. There have been many sacrifices which people have made over the years at Camp Hill. This is an area that you really thrive in. Two of them that have been prevalent to me is your meals ministry and your service ministries. Because everyone eats and everyone needs a hand up sometime. I hope I've done well for you in this area over the last 15 years. I've personally set up dozens of projects of service, not just my service, but corporate service. I've always tried to be participative. I never thought of my work as an evangelist above service because I wanted to be effective with you. Many of you might have needed your snow scooped. I came and helped you do it. Your car work done? I've done over 300 brake changes, brake jobs for members in the church over the last decade. Your unchurched relative visited, you might need. Your walls painted, your yard raked, your weeds pulled, your computer repaired, your furniture moved, a meal prepared or delivered, a ride to the hospital, to the doctor, to the airport, to another city, and even to another state. I did those things because I wanted to be effective for you. It's not in my nature. Most of what the evangelist does is for that reason. Most of what you, the corporate evangelist, if so be that that's what you choose, to do the work of an evangelist as the congregation, you will have to do this as well. I remember Jean Blaine's granddaughter was in a horrific accident down in North Carolina a few years back. And I remember Brian Dowler. I miss Brian Dowler, one of the finest men that I know. He called me up and he said, let's go down there and see her. They didn't know how it was going to turn out. But he said, let's go down and see her. So we hopped in the Honda Element and we drove 10 hours and visited that family in the hospital. There were people here like Jonathan Nolan and others that contributed funds for the family to be able to get down there. And you know what? Sister Dawn Blaine, she's not here today, but I remember receiving a call. I see Mike, but she called me not long after that. She said her heart was endeared to us for having reached out to them. We do affect people, and we must continue to do so. Here's a couple other positions that are opened for the corporate evangelist. Position open, personal helpers. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to assist members and non-members in a multiplicity of menial tasks, including computer, car, home repair, chauffeuring, moving, furniture, cleaning, yard work, etc. Must have a heart for service and a willing to break a sweat for the kingdom of God. Interested candidates must contact the elders and the deacons who are leading servants. I want to say something. Bob Williams was one of the finest servants that I ever knew. And I remember one night I was down at the church. There was a van full of youth getting ready to go to Manitani. And Dave Smith, Dave Smith said, "Hey, where's our driver?" And the man never showed up. So here we have a group of kids going to a youth retreat at Manitani. They're supposed to be leaving in like a half hour, and we don't have a driver. I couldn't do it. I was booked. Dave couldn't do it. He said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Let me call Bob." And Bob picks up the phone and goes, "Yeah, hello." I said, "Hey, where are you supposed to be, Bob?" I was just joking him. He says, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Aren't you driving the youth group down for the weekend?" "Oh, yeah." And he hung up the phone before I could get back to him. And in 15 minutes, he had a little bag packed. I said, "Bob, I was just joking you. You weren't on." He said, "No, that's okay." And he was gone until Sunday. That's the heart of a servant. And we have to have personal helpers. We have a training session on February 25th in loading the truck that I will be leaving with. That training session will begin about 10 a.m. Also, that training session, there's an early pre-registry class for Roland Williams, who will be moving Friday. And then Karen Myers, who will be moving down here and live where Frances Sheets is. She knows you, by the way. See, now there's another Christian up there you can play bridge with or something. Okay, she said she knew you. There's a position open, a meals ministry. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to assist preparing and delivering meals for shut-ins, new mothers, and the bereaved. Now, we do a pretty good job with that, but it always can use other candidates. Interested candidates must possess skill in meal preparation. Thank you, Sarah. She's done much of it. Please contact the elders or elders' wives if you have an interest. I remember that Jonathan Nolan and I, there was a whole bunch of apples up at Broad Top, good apples, and nobody was going to eat them off the tree. So I picked like a whole element full of them. And Jonathan came over and we baked pies, Dutch crumb apple pies. Massive amounts of those. I had to go to a chiropractor. I had a back cramp from cutting all those apples. And then we gave them to people in the church. And then what was funny is, people were saying, "Tell your wife I enjoyed that pie." I'm thinking, her pies come from Giant. But it doesn't matter who you are. If you eat, you probably cooked food. Meals ministry is a great way of reaching out to people. And so there's more sign-up sheets on the back. You're leaving the option open. I'm not saying you need an evangelist. I'm not saying you don't need an evangelist. But the greatest input you can do either which way you go is to always have a corporate evangelist here so the transition is smooth. Always. If you need to respond to the invitation at this point, would you do so while we stand and sing?